Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation conference call with Mr. Dan Cafferly, Director of Digital Corporate Public Relations. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded January 6th, 1998. Mr. Cafferly, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for calling in. Earlier today, Digital Equipment Corporation and Sequent Computer Systems announced a 64-bit Unix operating system initiative to establish the leading Unix on Intel Corporation's IA64 Enterprise Computing Architecture and the most interoperable Unix with Windows NT. On the call this afternoon is Digital Chairman Bob Palmer, Sequent Chairman Casey Powell, and John Miner, Vice President and General Manager of Intel's Enterprise Server Group. Each will give short remarks on the significance of this Unix initiative, and then we will open it up for questions. The teleconference will end promptly at 3:15 Eastern Standard Time. Bob?
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Some of you may recall that when Digital announced its agreement with Intel in late October, we made a commitment to port Digital Unix to Intel's 64-bit chip architecture known as IA64. We also talked about our plans to license Digital Unix to other systems vendors and to increase our share of the overall Unix market. Today, we're taking a first and very important step in that direction, a step that underscores Digital's long-term strategic commitment to Unix on both Alpha and Intel. I'm pleased to be here with Casey Powell, the Chief Executive Officer of Sequent Computer Systems, to announce that Digital and Sequent will work together to make Digital Unix the leading Unix on Intel's IA64 architecture. This joint effort brings together two companies with strong and complementary Unix credentials, and a common goal of delivering the best enterprise Unix for Intel platforms. Digital has today more than 4,500 64-bit applications, thousands of ISVs, and a proven 64-bit Unix operating system that has a five-year jump on the competition. In a recent report, the analyst firm of D.H. Brown Associates said that despite the growing competition, the newest version of Digital Unix retains, and I quote, a significant lead in providing the full range of 64-bit features, end quote. Sequent is an established player in the high-end Unix market and has led the industry in large-scale commercial Intel platforms since 1984. Our joint development effort will be based on Digital Unix, which Digital will continue to own, and on key Sequent technologies. What we will deliver together is an enhanced operating system that runs seamlessly across both the Alpha and Intel architectures, ensuring complete compatibility for all ISV and customer applications. One of the most important elements of this initiative is our commitment to attract additional partners and licensees. We believe that other vendors, as well as customers and ISVs, will adopt our 64-bit Unix for three reasons. First, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we will deliver the best enterprise Unix on Intel. Second, we will provide the best path to Merced, the first implementation of the IA64 architecture. We start with the major advantage. Because it is Little Indian-based operating system, Digital Unix is byte order compatible with Intel, unlike Sun, HP, and other competitors. We also benefit from Sequent's production-ready technology and its in-depth knowledge of Unix on Intel. Most important for vendors, ISVs, and customers who are looking for a smooth path to Merced, we will provide a full range of compatibility for source and binary code, including support for running 32-bit binary applications unmodified. Applications developed on any IA64 system running our 64-bit Unix will run on all vendors' IA64 systems running that operating system. Software vendors who want to develop 64-bit applications for Merced can use Digital Unix running on Digital Alpha systems as their development platform today. They can also be confident in the portability of their applications between Alpha and IA64-based systems, with nothing more required than a simple recompile. And customers can be confident that whether they make a commitment to Digital Unix today or in the future, their applications will run regardless of whether the underlying hardware is Alpha or IA64. This dual platform strategy is a key differentiator for Digital, and we will support both architectures far into the future. Finally, we will deliver the best Unix-Microsoft integration. Through Digital Vault Connect program, we already offer industry-leading integration and interoperability between Digital Unix and Windows NT. And Sequent is equally committed to supporting the vast majority of customers who will be running both Unix and NT. This collaboration with Sequent has significant benefit for Digital, its customers, and partners. First, it reinforces Digital's long-term commitment to Unix and to delivering an operating system that meets the needs of our Alpha and Intel customers. Digital is a firm believer in the enterprise capabilities of Windows NT, and we're committed to continue to enhance our OpenVMS operating system, which has few rivals for mission-critical computing. But we also believe that Unix will remain the operating system of choice for many of the most demanding enterprise applications. And we see significant opportunities to grow our Unix business on both Alpha and Intel. Our ability to deliver three robust operating systems, and most especially to integrate them in an enterprise environment, gives us an important advantage. Second, by broadening the Digital Unix base, we will sustain the investments made by Digital and ISVs. And third, with Digital Unix running on both Alpha and Intel platforms, we will be able to offer our customers and partners the broadest range of scalable, high-performance solutions in the industry. We've worked hard over the past few years to make Digital Unix the leader in 64-bit Unix. We now look forward to working with Sequent to expand that leadership to new markets. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Casey Powell, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Sequent.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. And thank all of you for joining our conference call today. This is a day that I think is significant not only to Sequent and Digital, but to the industry at large as well. I'm sure those of you who know us and have followed us know that we have long been looking for a Unix operating system that we could get behind that would allow one standard to grow and accommodate the needs of our company as well as other companies who are involved in ongoing development of Unix product. We've had several close calls, but so far, until this announcement with Digital, we have been unable to put together an agreement with anyone that we felt would deliver and satisfy all the needs of our company and other companies like us in the marketplace. There were several contenders along the way, and we've talked to you over time about most of them. Being involved with the other Intel OEMs and meeting with them on a regular basis, we talked regularly about SCO as a possible partner. And we've been fairly outspoken about why we felt we couldn't use SCO because, the majority of SCO applications are much lower end than the business that Sequent participates in. Having explored that, we moved on in combination with NCR. I'm sure a lot of you are aware that we were speaking to Sun Microsystems and were initially involved as Intel had discussions with Sun Microsystems and NCR had discussions with Sun Microsystems, so did we about the possibility of using Solaris and porting it to our platform. Until the agreement between Digital and Intel, certainly the Sun Microsystems path looked like it would be the best path for us. But I can tell you that with the opportunity presented to us by Digital, that there is absolutely no comparison in the product which we'll be able to produce, bearing in mind specifically the upgrade path necessary and the compatibility between the existing Alpha processor and the Intel processor with regard to ByteSex. So we are absolutely thrilled. We've been looking for a long time for a partner like this. And as I say, it wasn't until recently that we actually got into discussions with Digital when Digital and Intel actually reached an agreement where Digital announced that they would be developing a Unix platform to run on the Intel IE64 architecture. Now, this choice was a fairly easy one for us. In looking at Solaris, Solaris on Spark is not Solaris on Intel. And the Intel version still has the capability of delivering better performance on the low end because it doesn't take advantage of the Intel architecture the same way it takes advantage of the Spark architecture. The other thing that's very important to us is our company is absolutely committed to Intel uniquely, and it is the only chip that we use, and we're absolutely committed to NT as well. And clearly, neither of these elements were available to us by going with Solaris. These are things we would have had to added into the operating system ourselves. So Intel is our focus. It is not Sun's focus. And NT is a focus for us. Compatibility with NT is critically important to us, and we've been talking about that for a while. We believe that customers are going to want both, and we believe that Unix is the best path to NT. And so there was no NT story apparent at Sun either. So we believe that Digital's lead in the 64-bit operating system, as you heard Bob mention, with over 4,500 applications on digital Unix, even though Sun certainly has made great inroads, Digital's market share is extremely large. And Digital has been shipping 64-bit operating systems for a long time. Our understanding of the high end of Intel and our ability to work closely with Intel in close proximity to them, as well as working closely with them on the development of the NUMA architecture and the development of several other multiprocessing architectures, I think puts us in good stead as a partner of Digital. Also, Digital has some great technology in the space of integration of Unix and NT, and of course, those of you who have followed our company know that we have been talking about this integration and the need for it for a long time, and have made specific inroads here as well. So we think there's a great deal of shared technology there and a great deal of compatibility in our approach to the marketplace. We also believe that we have a significant commitment to the enterprise, and that we have spent time and money building a capability in that area that very few other computer companies in business today, and certainly those in open systems, have made a commitment to. And that means that we have to speak the language of the people who say DASD. We have to focus our attention on the data center. And that means we have to provide not only price performance, but outstanding scalability, very, very high availability, and above all, manageability. So we believe that this is the right path for us to take. Now, in terms of benefits to Sequent customers, we couldn't be more thrilled to know that we're going to have an enterprise-ready 64-bit Unix at the launch of Merced, with thousands of applications, many thousands of applications already running. We have a very clear path forward, right? We know what the upgrade path is. Our customers don't have to worry about compatibility, because we'll have source compatibility from Deschutes to Merced. We'll have a 32-bit mode version of the product to go from Deschutes to Merced, and our customers are going to still continue to be in good hands. We'll have the best NT Unix interoperability in the entire industry, and everybody knows where NT is going. So the choices are clear to us. This partnership, I think, represents an outstanding ability to cooperate. It was put together very quickly by some very capable people on both sides, both of whom have indicated not only a willingness, but a clear ability to partner as well. So we are absolutely thrilled to be a part of this announcement today. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to John Miner from Intel Corporation and ask him for his remarks.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are. Thanks, Casey, and thanks, Bob. This is great news for Intel architecture for several reasons. First of all, it expands the choice that customers will have for an operating environment that best meets their needs running on Intel architecture and optimized to run on Intel architecture, and bringing with it a wealth of expertise and knowledge that Sequent and Digital have accumulated over the years with regards to operating system technology and enterprise computing needs. In addition to that, it represents the growing support for Merced and Intel architecture, which is rapidly becoming the unifying architecture and unifying platform of enterprise computing. And this is one more example of how the operating system availability will be a key ingredient into the rapid acceptance of Intel architecture into the highest levels of the enterprise computing hierarchy. So we're very excited about it and supportive of this effort, and look forward to the excellent results that Casey has committed. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We're now ready to take your questions. We also have with us Tim Yeaton, Vice President for Digital's Unix System Group, and Jeff Pankatine, Vice President for Marketing at Sequent, to answer any technical questions you may have. Please state which of the participants you would like to respond when you ask your question. Tracy, please poll the callers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You'll hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Terry Shannon in Ashland, please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. I have a question for Tim Yatton. Two questions, actually. First, what is Digital Unix going to be renamed to? And secondly, does Digital plan to take advantage of Sequence NUMA expertise in the Unix space?
Thanks, Terry. Relative to the first question, the rebranding of Digital Unix, we don't have an established name yet, although it is our intention to establish one very quickly so all of our partners can rally around it while still preserving the known benefits of Digital Unix from an application context, a 64-bit context. So we will do that quickly, although we don't have a name today. The second question relative to elements of the joint development activities, particularly around NUMA, yes, indeed. One of the areas of collaboration will be around high end scalability, particularly in the context of NUMA, as well as some other things that I'll just enumerate very quickly. We're going to collaborate in NUMA scalability, as well as in areas such as enhanced workload management and partitioning, the creation of the 32-bit compatibility that Casey alluded to, and we'll collaborate as well on the actual port as we bring Digital Unix forward to the Reset architecture.
Next question, please.
Stephen Smith in New York, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I had just a quick question for Mr. Miner, and that is, it seems like this endorsement, while it certainly makes for a strong Unix 64-bit contender for the Intel platform, is still one of a number of competing platforms, and it seems that we're still in the same situation where we're going to have a fragmented Unix market, even on the Intel IA64 architecture. And it surely is in everyone's interest, in the customer standpoint and Intel's interest, to have a single standard Unix, and that doesn't seem to be happening, and Intel doesn't seem to be encouraging that, or it doesn't seem to be moving that direction, with Sun certainly also getting an equal endorsement as it has as debt. Could you respond to that, please?
Yes, thank you. I believe that the customers have long established the fact that there are unique sets of characteristics that determine what their purchasing requirements are going to be, and that they select the operating systems that best meet those needs, and that the fact that there are multiple operating systems today is evidence that there isn't a single solution for all needs and all applications. While that would be nice, it just the reality is that it's not happened, and there doesn't appear to be a strong momentum for that to happen.
Next question, please.
Martin Garvey in Manhasset, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
For anybody who has the crystal ball today, can we get any estimate of the time frame when we can see the follow-up operating system that you guys are going to develop?
Tim. Yes, this is Tim Yatton. Our intention is to deliver the augmented operating system on Merced at the initial availability of Merced-based systems.
This is Jeff Pankatine as well. Time to market is especially critical here in terms of delivering an enterprise solution at the time Merced is released. We believe that that's a very important part of where the industry is going, and was critical in our choice as a company to work with Digital on this new initiative.
Next question, please.
David Pendery in San Mateo, California. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. This is David Pendry. I'm wondering how you all view the near-term future of 64-bit computing. For example, which customers can best utilize 64-bit computing?
Sure. This is Tim Yatton again. 64-bit computing is already well established today in several key application domains. Enterprise applications in general, particularly those with large data management requirements that includes large-scale traditional database and TP applications, as well as data warehousing in that same context. So there's a whole range of commercial applications that are very much data intensive where 64-bit computing is very well established. One excellent example of that is, in fact, Digital's AltaVista search engine and site, which is one of the best examples of a 64-bit solution. In fact, AltaVista couldn't achieve the levels of performance and the number of hits that it's able to handle if it weren't for its ability to handle a very large in-memory database that's enabled by 64 bits. The other area where 64-bit computing in general is quite applicable is in a set of markets that Digital's historically targeted in the technical computing arena. But those markets exist today, they're well-established, and they're growing quite rapidly.
This is Jeff Pankatien with Sequent. We believe that 64-bit computing is going to be critical. It's clearly in place today. Digital is the leader there and has worked with a lot of the application vendors for a number of years now to encourage that. And as we move forward, obviously, with Merced coming out, it's going to be very critical to have an operating environment which can take full advantage of that from a production point of view for the enterprise. So we're very much in the mindset that 64-bit computing is the way all computing will be done in the future.
Now, this is Casey Powell from Sequent also. I just want to add that it was the advent of 32-bit processors in virtual memory that really allowed the merchant microprocessor running in multiprocessor architectures to really basically replace and displace the mini computer and the super mini of its day. I think the 64-bit Merced architecture is really the first time we're going to see available on a very large commercial basis the kind of technology that's truly going to allow us to replace the mainframe with multiprocessor architectures around this kind of device. Certainly the trailblazing that's been done by Alpha is a good example of the kind of 64-bit involvement that people are looking for. But I think that with the volume behind a 64-bit Merced device, that this is what really has been necessary to truly move the merchant microprocessor in architectures like this into the mainframe space.
Thank you.
This is Tim. And one last point as well around where 64 bits is important. One key emerging area, of course, is in the internet commerce space, both in terms of e-business as well as being able to exploit more sophisticated encryption technologies and the like.
Next question, please.
Jen Stafford in San Francisco, California. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, this is Jan Stafford. And I'm wondering what effect Sun's recent pact with Intel made on your decision, this is for Casey Powell, to go with digital, if it was too little too late, or if their dual approach, which you touched on, was really just not suitable.
Well, as I said earlier, this is Casey, by the way. As I said earlier, we were pretty far down the path with Sun. And in light of that being the only alternative other than SCO or HP, it looked like a very good alternative at the time. This is clearly superior. Superior in that we believe that a design win for this new kind of Unix is a design win for Alpha and Intel, and we're going to see the best possible performance on an operating system that's been designed specifically for those machines. And so certainly that didn't afford us the opportunity to see the kind of performance we think we'll see out of this operating system. Additionally, the kind of cooperation that we can enjoy on a partnership basis with digital equipment wasn't available to us with Solaris. I mean, we're going to actually mutually develop this operating system, and you know, an awful lot of what we've pioneered and brought to market around the NUMA architecture is highly regarded by digital, and I think we're going to see it, used in good stead there. As we value their experience in the high end of the marketplace and other areas that we were of course looking for. So it was yes, I think it was too little at the last minute, and we decided to change course because we reacted very quickly to a new opportunity that was presented when digital and Intel made their agreement.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Bill Frericks in Portland, Oregon. Please go ahead with your question.
This question is for whoever knows the answer. Obviously, Sequent has staked out this opportunity as a mainframe replacement opportunity, and I was wondering what kinds of products offerings will be available from digital 2 years from now when Merced comes to market and this operating system is available.
I just want to make sure I understand the question. Is this a system view?
The question is, what will Digital have in this high-end mainframe replacement systems space? It's clear that Sequent intends to live there. Will you have directly competing products there?
This is Jesse Lipkon speaking from Digital. We today, of course, are shipping our Alpha Server 8400 in the high-end space, and today the majority of those systems ship with Digital Unix, the operating system we're talking about. We do have a extensive long-term roadmap to evolve that system into even more expandable, more scalable, and higher-end systems, and those will be rolling out over the next several years between now and the time that Merced begins to ship.
And what happens when it does ship?
When it does ship, of course, we will have a product line which includes both Intel and Alpha systems. We do expect that we will be able to maintain the performance lead for Alpha as far as one can see into the future, but we will have a much broader product line with both IA64 and Alpha.
Okay, and then at that point in that space, what will the differentiators be for each respective company?
Well, there are many differentiators above the operating system level in terms of services and support, software, your install customer bases, how well you reach the customer through channels of distribution or the direct sales force. I mean, there's a jillion dimensions on which we all compete. And as was noted by one of the questioners, it's desirable to have some standardization in this Unix marketplace, and Sequent and Digital are working to achieve that on the IA64 architecture.
And Casey, what's your answer to that?
I see it the same way. We were going to have an operating system either way. We're going to compete with Digital either way. The fact is that now we can cooperate on the operating system and spend our energy competing with different architectures rather than competing with ourselves and double spending the money. So, you know, this is obviously a major win not only for Intel, but potentially for all the other Intel OEMs. To have an operating system that will be specific to Intel, that will be developed specifically for the Intel Merced processor, and it's something that we think we'll probably get some more cooperation on. So this is not something that's going to be designed to run both on Spark and then less optimally on Intel, because you obviously can't optimize it for both. So we really believe that that the majority of people will probably line up behind this operating system. And that then the operating system becomes, you know, somewhat similar to the availability of the chip. It's what you do beyond that, that actually differentiates the company. And we think we have clear differentiation, just like the folks at Digital do.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Rick Boyd, Merritt in New York, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks. This is a question mainly for Sequent. Can you tell us, are you going to be revving, improving, expanding your NUMA technology at all in the version that you roll out for support with Digital UX?
This is Jeff Pankatine. Obviously, we'll continue to rev and upgrade and increase performance of our NUMA technologies, expand that system architecture in terms of processors and memory and I.O. and capabilities within that architecture. We look forward to the Merced chipset because we believe it provides a very strong story with the NUMA architecture. So when you put these things together, you have an extremely strong story where you could, for instance, run Unix and NT in the same existing environment and manage those two. Clearly, this is a major advantage for large customers. We have distinct roadmaps and plans to move NUMA forward and continue on that architecture.
So can you just give a little bit of detail about how you will be enhancing NUMA as you look to build some of that capability into Digital Unix?
Well, you can imagine, obviously, that as the chips get faster, interconnect speeds get faster, you do smarter things with the software to enable the usage of those processors and larger memories in terms of addressability. You have 64-bit addressability now, so you can take advantage of those larger memories and larger disk farms, and we'll work in those areas. We're a leader in the fiber channel area today, in the clustering area, and in the scalability area in terms of numbers of processors being able to do real work associated with database applications. So you'll continue to see that. Obviously, processor clock frequency increments will continue through the current generation as well through Merced.
Next question, please.
Scott Winkler in Stamford, Connecticut. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Casey. Scott Winkler here.
Hey, Scott.
How you doing? Got a question for you about the operating system itself. Is there going to be one and only one kernel here that Digital has and their other licensees have? Or is there going to be a differentiated one that you keep with PTX deep in the operating system that's different than what the others might have?
There's going to be one operating system, one kernel, because if there's two kernels, there's really two operating systems. There will be one operating system, and we'll have a migration path for our customers that will allow them 32-bit compatibility in the Deschutes time frame. We'll have the Deschutes quad out next year, and of course it's going to be important for us to provide a compatible growth path for our customers to make sure that we get them there safely. But no two kernels, just one.
So any other licensee of Digital who's building or wants to build a NUMA system will get the advantages of all the work you've done in optimizing PTX for NUMA architecture?
Absolutely. And we believe that's one of the significant advantages that we bring to the party.
And second question on compatibility is when there's a 64-bit system, your existing customers who have 32-bit code running on PTX, is that going to be source-level compatible or binary compatible?
Source-level compatible.
So they'll have to recompile to get to
it. They will have to recompile, but I really believe that that's going to be one short step as opposed to some of the longer steps that some of our competition have to put their customers through.
Hey, Scott, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. There is a 32-bit mode binary compatibility in the Merced timeframe. As you know, the chipset itself supports that, and we will be able to then pick up 32-bit binary code and move it on to the Merced environment. It will run in 32-bit mode. To take advantage of 64-bit operations, you obviously would have to recompile the software.
So you would need to run the 32-bit operating system to take advantage of that?
No, there's a compatibility mode that will be built into this implementation.
Okay, last question. Casey, you made reference to the thousands of apps that are already running on Digital Unix. Of course, those are presently compiled for Alpha, not for Intel. Are you going to be doing something specifically, and if so, when and what, to try to get those vendors to recompile to support IA64 as well?
Well, we'll be doing it concurrent with Digital. Certainly, we also believe that there are going to be other people joining this parade. I mean, obviously, we think this is a strong contender for the standard Unix because it runs on Intel and because it incorporates NT. So, yeah, I think we have a very, very strong opportunity here not only to get a bigger parade going here, but also to move a lot of the standard applications over onto this operating system.
Right. This is Tim Yetton. Casey, just to add to that thought, one of the things, by virtue of having a single kernel, we can assure 100% source compatibility for those ISVs. So, the work to recompile is very straightforward. We'll, with Sequent and with subsequent partners, put a program in place to work with them to make that even easier. So that's an explicitly part of this program. One other point that's worth noting relative to some of the other options out there is by virtue of Alpha being in a little Endian system, Digital Unix therefore being little Endian, and Intel systems being little Endian, you have assured data compatibility across those boundaries as well, so that you can have application portability and assured data interoperability over a long period of time.
Which you don't have with HPUX or Solaris.
Okay, next question.
William Fellows in New York, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there. I'm still trying to understand a bit about how you're going to differentiate the work going forward. I spoke with digital engineers earlier this morning who tell me they've got technology in the labs which can leverage CC NUMA and therefore provide a competitive offering with the Sequent stuff. But above and beyond that, can we get some idea of the resources that are going to go into this effort and an understanding of whether this is really designed to be a volume product on IA64 and therefore compete directly with Santa Cruz operation and others?
William, this is Tim Yetton. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Let me try to start from the back of your questions and work forward if I could. Our design center here clearly is the design center that we've always had for Digital Unix, which is primarily for production class applications. However, as you know, we've built Digital Unix in a fairly modular fashion such that we span a whole range of products down to our smallest alpha servers and workstations up through and including clustered 8400 class systems. That's exactly the design center that we carried forward, of course, Consequently, the design center for this initiative is, again, production class applications where folks like we and Sequent and others in the Unix business have tended to focus. But we have the opportunity here and the intent to provide that same instance of Unix across the whole product line as everyone gets to 64 bits in this partnership. So the intent is a single operating system that covers roughly the range that we do today and are planning to going forward, and making that available on Merced systems to cover a comparable range.
Uh-huh.
This is Jeff. The answer to your other part of the question, in terms of the resources being applied, I don't want to speak for Digital, obviously, but there are a large number of resources in Digital and also in Sequent focused on operating system development and deployment. And one of the beautiful things about this relationship is you get the synergy of both the strengths that each bring to the party and enabling us to deliver a highly competitive time-to-market product on Merced.
The question was asked earlier, too, about, and the question was put to John Miner at Intel, this is Casey again, saying, why not one operating system? We feel the same way. We believe there ought to be one Unix operating system. The thing is that we think this ought to be the one for Intel. And so we don't think that Solaris is the right way to go. If we did, we'd have gone that way. We don't think SCO is the right way to go. If we did, we'd have gone that way.
True.
And conversely, I don't think that they believe that, that Spark running on this operating system is the right thing to do. We think Solaris belongs on Spark. We think that the HPUX operating system belongs on the big Indian version of Merced. And we think that this operating system belongs on everything else.
Right. Okay, fine. Does the net effect of this mean that Sequent is going to increase its research and development as far as the Unix system software enterprise goes?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen here is you're going to see that what we're very good at, we'll be able to contribute. And, the head start that's already been created for us with digital Unix is something that we can take great advantage of, and that the rest of the industry can take advantage of as well.
Right. This is Jeff again. I believe that it allows us to focus on those areas where we have strengths and deliver more value add quicker in terms of getting to the market.
Next question, please.
Joanne Muller in Boston, Massachusetts. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, I have a question for Bob Palmer. Excuse me. The you talked a bit about the commitment to continue with Alpha, but I'm looking for two or three good reasons why anyone would want to buy Alpha once Merced comes out. What is going to be the differentiator, and why should that product stay alive?
And the differentiator is its performance. It has, for the last 5 years, established itself as the highest performance architecture, and we believe that that's sustainable. In fact, we believe it's more sustainable as a result of our Intel agreement than it was previously, because, as you know, if you've looked at that agreement, what we said about it, Intel is committed to run Alpha and Merced on their most advanced process. And because Alpha is a simpler chip, it's not trying to do as much in terms of backward compatibility with disparate architectures, it should be able to maintain a substantial performance advantage. And so we should be able to offer the broadest range of platforms on both the IE64, which we think is clearly going to be a winner, and the Alpha architecture, which is a high-performance extender to our product line.
Do you have any kind of a guess as to what chunk of your business Alpha will be versus the IE64?
I don't have a guess, and really that's all it would be. We try to avoid making guesses. We have a very firm technology roadmap and a very firm understanding of what kind of performance we can achieve with that architecture and in what time frame. The really exciting thing here is that you're going to have a single operating system environment that will allow the software vendor community, which is critically important here, to write applications. They could even start today on Alpha and have that as a migration path to the Merced architecture if they choose. And they know that their application is going to run with a simple recompile. And as we've stressed, the byte ordering compatibility between Intel and Alpha architecture makes that much less risky, much less difficult, more straightforward than on other architectures. This is a better solution to the problem. The other thing that Casey stressed, and I want to reemphasize, is that both Sequent and Digital are committed to the idea of multiple operating systems, NT and Unix coexistence, and making that interoperability a value add for our customers. Many of the other companies you've mentioned don't fall into that category.
We have time for one more question.
Maureen O'Gara with in New York, New York. Please go ahead with your question, please.
Casey?
Hi, Maureen.
How you doing?
Good.
You saving money this way?
Damn right we're saving money. So is digital. And so can everybody else who's using an Intel processor save money by doing this, by pooling our resources.
Well, how much money do you think you can save?
Lots. It's not even a question of saving the money. It's, you know, the task becomes monumental. So when you look at the resources necessary to spend on this, it's a matter of people and time. You know, can we get enough people? Can we go fast enough? And I'll tell you, you know, the demands now to move these kinds of systems into the data center. You know, when you heard, you know, heard earlier that, you know, when Tim talked about, you know, workloads and partitioning and those kinds of benefits that, that digital is going to help Sequent with, you know, the benefit is there for everybody to enjoy. And you need that kind of stuff if you're going to go after the mainframe market. And clearly that's the next big market on the horizon that we want, that Intel wants, that Oracle wants, that EMC wants, that all these people want. I mean, And that's the place that we're going to go. We've made significant investments there already, and we now are going to leverage those investments.
Is there something in your relationship with DEC, such as the NUMA stuff, that other OEMs may be alienated by?
No. If anything, I think that, you know, they're going to see a significant opportunity here to pick up technology that we've developed over a long period of time and specific expertise that we've developed. We're putting that in the pot. We've done it before.
Is there room for them to bring in their Unix specialties?
Absolutely.
Yes, in fact, Casey, let me just add to that. This is Tim. We've actually designed our process here to establish an open requirements process so that other partners' requirements can be accommodated in the development process and provide for unique hooks for any individual company that needs them while still preserving binary compatibility across all of those vendors. So that's explicitly part of our program.
Well, guys, have you actively gone out yet and sought other third parties?
We're engaged in a number of conversations aggressively as we speak.
And Marie, just because I live in Portland doesn't mean I was born there. Of course
and
we
well,
have.
Well, I know, Casey.
Of course we have, for God's sake.
Okay.
This isn't going to be just another choice. This is going to be the choice.
Okay. That concludes the teleconference. If you have any additional questions, you can call Dick Calandrella of Digital or Mike Fay of Sequent. Their telephone numbers are at the top of the news release, or Marion Kohler of Intel at 408-765-3547. You can also get additional information on the Internet at www.unix.digital.com. There will be a replay of this teleconference starting at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time for 48 hours, and that number to call is 1-800-633-8284 in the U.S. and 212-248-1201 for international callers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.